afternoon, everyone. Yes, my notes are cool. Yeah, so what I'd like to talk about today is something that I think has been in my mind a bit over the last few months. It's about just trying to see, well, I'm titled either seeing through the lenses of God or sort of how to maybe seeing other people and yourself as maybe God sees. I think it's a huge topic, obviously, and you know, it's, you know, when we are, as a Christian, we kind of really want to be more like Jesus, and that includes, obviously, yeah, includes to look at things as Jesus would look. And I feel like over the last couple of months, I've learned a little bit on that. I mean, I'm really just probably going to touch, I mean, there's an endless topic, a surface of that, and there's so much more I can say about that. But yeah, I'm just going to want to share a little bit of maybe what I've learned over the last few months. And so two points, sort of, or two topics, I guess. One is, well, they're related to one another. So how do you see other people, first of all? And to that, I mean, what's the best way to see maybe how God sees or how Jesus sees other people? Well, I mean, I guess we should look into the Bible and see, you know, what encounters of Jesus and how has Jesus really looked into, how has he dealt with people and how has he looked at people. So for that, if you could turn to Luke 19, verse 1, which is a very well-known story about Jesus and Zacchaeus. And we pick up in verse 1, where it says, so Luke 19, verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and was very wealthy, He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short and he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed some fig tree to see him, and since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here. And now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So what I find interesting really on from this is sort of these two ways of how maybe, how you could see Zacchaeus from that. So I mean, the people, you know, it's not said that much explicitly, but what I would imagine the people were seeing as Zacchaeus, who, you know, he was a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector, in fact, so like the chief executive of the HMRC, but at that time, being someone who's, you know, who you probably, although nowadays you get, I guess, only get taxed back rather than having to claim more taxes, but he was someone who was very not popular, and you know, he was seen as someone, he was a Jew, I guess, and someone to be, they're known to be corrupt, who just take more money as they're than supposed to, and the people can't do anything about it. And someone who's really seen as a sort of traitor, betrayer of the Jews, of Jewish people, because they're basically helping the Roman people who came and conquered the land to take money from them to give to, you know, the Romans who are worshipping, obviously, other pagan gods, and obviously, you know, enriching themselves for that. And he was short. And, you know, if I was one of the people in the crowd who probably would have, you know, if I'm working and I would need to pay taxes and probably would have dealt with him, then I would probably seen him as someone as, you know, a bit, my natural reaction I think would be a bit like, a bit of a schadenfreude, where I feel like, you know, this guy, you know, he wants to see Jesus, we can see Jesus, but he's a bit short, so, you know, he's now like, you know, having to climb up a tree to just peek at Jesus through there, and really having to humiliate himself, really, because first it says, you know, he was running he ran ahead. So running at that time is also something that is not very common. It's not nowadays, you know, where you are like with nice jeans or something like that, you know, with like tunics and trying to run to something that's already quite a humiliating, and then trying to climb up a tree. I'm not sure, how many people have climbed up a tree, really? Okay, quite a few, yes. Maybe let me say, what is the reason that you climbed up a tree?
Fun.
Fun.
Fruits.
Taking fruits.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice. I don't think I've ever really climbed a tree. And I think, you know, for a short guy to climb up a tree as well, I think that is quite impressive. But I mean, the people, I think they were like, you know, you can see that in verse 7 when they said, you know, the people saw this, began to mutter, he has gone. So Jesus has gone to be a guest of a sinner. So they obviously not feel like this guy is a sinner. He is, you know, not welcome. And I guess, yeah, the people are not have a very positive impression of him, even though, you know. But where's Jesus? What does Jesus see? I think, you know, Jesus, you know, when he saw him, he probably knows who he was. I mean, I guess he's God and he sees it. He could probably also see, you know, all the sins he's done, you know, how much he's, you know, I guess, what do you call that, cheated people, how much he's pain he has caused, really, by, you know, taking all this money for himself. But what is it that Jesus actually focused on in this case, which I find just very, really encouraging, I think, well, really, like, convicting is to see he saw actually what, he looked at the heart, really, of Zacchaeus. And I think, you know, one of the things that is summarized, you know, of how God looks at us is in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, where it says, you know, well, the last verse is that people look at the outward experience, but the Lord looks at the heart. Mm-hmm. And I think that is actually, like, you know, I guess the summary of maybe my sermon, so, which is like, you know, God looks at the heart and looks at Zacchaeus, that he was trying, and that he was really, like, you know, even though despite all his what he's done and despite you know, all these challenges, he actually tried to see Jesus and he tried to go and really wanted to see him. And then the reaction that Jesus, and then what Jesus then proceeded to do was, I think, also really remarkable, is like that he was then invited himself over, really, but just really what he wanted to do is he was asking him to spend time really with Zacchaeus. So and went in. So for me, that's like in some of our relationships, I feel I can sometimes see sort of all the things that are not correct of some other people. One, for example, now someone who I spend a lot of time with is obviously my wife. And maybe not as much as you like to. So I'm just traveling a bit, but I think, you know, one thing I learned over the last couple of months is just I often feel like I focus on these negative, like on these shortcomings, I guess, of Gene. I don't know really. I'm not even sure what shortcomings he's talking about now. but just like, you know, it's things that just like, oh, it would be nice if she could done that. There's some things that maybe I'm better in, and I can focus a lot on that, and maybe even think about. And then what I first maybe do, or what I tend to sometimes do, is like just say it out directly, like without any sort of regard of whether it's an appropriate time or not. Just say, oh, actually, I think that, you know, you should probably do this and this, or should do that and that. But I think, I mean, if you see here Jesus, how he looks at, you know, Zacchaeus, the first thing he said was not, oh, you need to give back, you know, half of your possessions to the poor, as he maybe did for the rich young ruler who was in the chapter before. But what he did is, like, he wanted to spend time with Zacchaeus. And I think that really helped me to really learn, okay, a relationship, obviously, maybe this is an obvious point, but I don't know, I felt like, even being married now for a year or something, that's something that still do, like, where just, you know, instead of first go and, you know, have a relationship with someone or just, you know, spend time, I first kind of focused on the negative bits and feel like, oh, this needs to be changed and then fix that. And as me, obviously, that affects, like, you know, maybe the Jews, they were also affected by them, but by the sins or what Zacchaeus has done. But yeah, I mean, I think just it's such a great example, actually, that Jesus is the one who looks at the heart and looks at the intentions, it's really just the heart and goes, looks past the sins. And really what he looks at is with love towards Zacchaeus, really with love and knowing what is sort of, and really building up the relationship with him. And we can see what the result from that was in the end is in verse 8, where we see is that, you know, Zacchaeus actually, yeah, he changed and repented. So one lesson I learned is that, you know, if you want to fix someone, you don't fix them by just telling them the solutions, I think. But, you know, you just love them, I think. And Jesus loved other people and they repented, they feel the love and they saw the love that, you know, Jesus and God has, and they through that they were convicted to change. And that's, I guess, yeah, so if we go towards other people, it's, we should, I guess, really point them to God, point them to Jesus, and not say, oh, no, maybe that's, you're doing that wrong, you should do this. So I think that's one of the points I feel like I've learned. And yeah, again, that was sort of resonated with me very strongly 2 weeks ago when JP and Rose were talking about sort of words you probably better not use as much, which were one of being should and ought and must or something like that, whereas these kind of teaching words, but it's rather we should, you know, really want, but there's no should, and I'm saying lots of shoulds, but yeah, it is difficult, I felt, yeah, so, but yeah, it's really just the love itself that I think, you know, we could focus on seeing the intention in the heart of someone. I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't have, or we don't have, we must not, or whatever. I can't keep it out, but we don't have any truth. Like, you know, there's, God, you know, Jesus obviously told people what the truth is as well. We can see that with the young rich ruler, what he needed to do, what he commanded them. But, you know, truth and comes with, you know, needs to come with love as well. And So the question, I guess, we'd like to ask is, what is the first thing when we look at other people? I mean, sometimes, you know, we look their heart and really want to help them, but other times I think I can be very, like, you know, for me at least, you know, seeing just past the problems and the sins and maybe being sort of judgmental, so maybe that's something to think about. So really not focusing on the problems, but really on and the sins, but really on love and really helping the people to be with God. So that's sort of my first kind of point. Obviously, for that, there's another point, I think, which I'm not really touching on, because I find it for myself very difficult. It's like, you know, when we look at other people, especially not people, not maybe with, you know, close friendships, but with just colleagues, friends, and just people in general in our community, I think, you know, another thing is, one thing I feel like I realize I need to do more, but I think still learning is to see that, you know, we actually, you know, without God, we are actually lost. And I think coming from, you know, a place where I've not actually known God much before, I can sometimes, when I look at other people, I think, oh, they seem to have a nice life. They seem to, you know, why should I really enjoy, what, like, bother inviting them to church, or why should I really tell them about God? But you know, in the end, actually, how God sees them is actually people who are lost as well. And I think that's something we should also, you know, keep in mind. But yeah, I'm not going to expand on that too much for this, because yeah, I'm still learning on that. I'm not actually sure exactly what I want to like to share on this. But I think that's the one thing I just really felt like I needed to bring that up, because I think that is yeah, very, very important as we just think of in general our community and our, and yeah, as we, how can we help? And maybe in a wedding transfer person, it's always a very great opportunity to bring people, I think, to God, or to reach out to them. And then the other thing I was thinking of is, how do we look at ourselves? And maybe I'm just more of a too self-centered person, but I was just thinking, like, you know, for a lot of times when I go to between two extremes. One is sort of not taking sin very seriously, and the other being kind of being too harsh and too unloving towards me. So one side is like not taking sin seriously, sort of kind of self-righteousness in saying, like, oh, I'm doing a lot of these good things, so yeah, this sin I don't really like, don't need to bother about that. But I mean, God sees all sin as being equal, and I think for that one thing I feel like I struggled with quite a bit over the last couple of months is laziness. It's feeling like I'm not spending, or I'm not actually doing things what I should do, and you know, spending quite a considerable amount of time doing work to do, like, yeah, I have certain browser games which I play, and I spend too much time on that. Jean really finds it really annoying that I play that in general, and I think there's a lot of good point, like a good conviction behind that. And for me, I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, it is a bit of an issue, but, you know, I'm sort of getting things done, and I, like, you know, it's, everyone needs some break, and you know, this is this kind of thing where you it is dangerous, and for me that was kind of talking about it, like not really, like, you know, really with an earnest heart to just say, oh, I want to really make sure to see whether that is an issue or not. And I was always, there's always these, you always have a lot of thoughts coming from, you know, almost like, you know, angel and devil, and kind of trying to talk to you from each side. And I was really confused, and I really felt like in one of the, I wish I had put it, I thought I put it in there. Anyway, but in the scripture which talks about, you know, it's like, where feel like waves are like tossed around. Which are those words? Can anyone help me out? I think it's Jacob.
It's Jacob chapter 1.
Yes. Let me quickly get there.
James.
I'm dropping all James.
James.
James. It is James.
James chapter 1.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very, you guys are great.
James.
Yes. So James chapter 1 verse 6, I guess. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts it is like a wave of sea blown and tossed by the wind. And I felt a lot like that when I was in that situation, like, oh, what is the right thing? What should I be doing? And for that, actually, you know, opening yourself has helped me that, and realizing, you know, if you look at Luke 6 verse 47 to 48, I heard the scripture a lot before, but I don't feel like I've emotionally resonated to that. And I remember Tim sharing that a few months or years maybe ago, but he emphasizes that quite a lot, where it's about the wise and the foolish builder. So in verse 47 it says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built." So, Tim was talking about in that case is like, when I think that's very much so, our faith needs to be founded on something that is, you know, solid, and that is on God, and I think on the Bible, on the truth, really. Mm-hmm. And what helped me with that, so taking maybe since a bit more seriously to see, is really to go back to the Bible and see what does it actually say. What does God tell me actually, whether what I'm doing right now is correct or not? And the Bible has been really helpful for me. And so James 4:17, for example, you don't have to turn there. It says, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do but doesn't do it, it is sin for them." So let me ask you, are there any sort of sins that you're maybe putting in the back burner that actually now, you know, that you're just maybe afraid to deal with? And I think that was for me. I was not like, I just felt like, oh, it's too busy, I can't, you know, there's too many things going on. But it's like some of these things are important, I think, and important for us as Christians to, you know, God sees us with all our flaws and loves us, but He also sees the sin and also sees us maybe not dealing with that. And I think for me, that to learn is really important, to not really take anything just like that I just not properly deal with. Where in this case, this was something that I didn't properly deal with, because I was just was something that affected me, but it was not something. But it was something that I really didn't feel like ready to give up or something like that. So so that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's important when we look at ourselves to look at it as something that is based on God, based on the truth, and really based on based on what really God says. And another verse which is really helpful for me is this 1 Peter 5:8. "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So when we look at ourselves, we should maybe look at be alert and sober, because the devil is, you know, taking every opportunity to grab hold of us. And for me also, what really helps is other people helping, like opening up myself to other people. I feel like, you know, I chat with Ben a lot and Reinhard as well, and it really helped me to really just talk about it. I think, you know, and not be afraid to talk about it, not be afraid that, you know, I put myself to shame or something like that. And that's something, again, with the Bible, with Zacchaeus is a good example, where he was someone who did, you know, who did try, you know, without feeling like, without any, without being afraid of, you know, humiliating himself or, you know, looking like a fool or something like that. So yeah, that's, I think, when we not deal with things seriously. Another point, I think, is to not, to when you are being too harsh to yourself. And I think this is where, in some ways, is another form of self-righteousness, is where I think where it can be like performance-based. I think last few weeks, again, I felt there were so many kind of things going on, and I felt like emotionally just extremely like, oh, I'm not doing well with being patient towards Jean, I'm not feeling really anxious about all my work, and I shouldn't feel anxious about my work, I shouldn't be impatient, because, you know, that's what the Bible says, and that's, you know, we can just give things to God, but and the more I'm trying to do that, the less I feel. It just helps, like, yeah, for maybe a few minutes or something like that, but really I'm actually like trying to work it out myself. But yeah, in the end that's that really helped me. It helped me really like emotionally, like, I don't know, really shaken and very just where I'm just being very unloving to myself. And I think that's where I really focused on God's love towards us, and the same love that he showed to Zacchaeus, and the same love that he, you know, showed on the cross, really is the love that, you know, despite all our sort of weaknesses, despite our shortcomings, despite us not meeting the standards, because we are not really going to meet the standards, we're not going to be perfect, and we're not going to be able to, you know, completely rid ourselves from all anxieties and be just patient all the time and not be lazy at all the time. But you know, what God looks and what God's looking for, I guess, is I guess really our heart again. And so what I want to feel, I guess, like, you know, just feeling like looking at God and how God would look at us helped me to find, or I just feel like I learned that, you know, that really helps me to want to get out, to stop actually thinking about myself, really, and just think about God and think about, you know, that it's in the end, these are things are not as important as my relationship with God. So one another verse I think that's really like amazing is in John 15:5, where it says that, you know, talking about the vine and branches. So I am the vine, you are the branches. So Jesus is saying, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I felt very much that I can do nothing, really. Like, you know, all I'm doing is I'm trying to please God, but, you know, without God, that's just not possible, and we just can't do that. And everything we achieve is all really through God. And that's something that helped me realizing that, and how looking at ourselves, that we are not just, we're looking at me, it's not looking at, oh, I don't know, PhD student, or I don't know, whatever job role you're doing, and but looking at you as just a person and a lost child in some ways, and who come back if you're a Christian, and someone who's trying to really please God, and yeah, so he sees our hearts, our sins, and where we shouldn't neglect sort of our sins, we should also, I think, in the end, really really focus and realize that, you know, it is God in the end who helps us overcome them, and through whom we really can be in the end ourselves, really, you know, or we can really feel the joy that, you know, feel without these burdens that all kind of can be with us. Again, a question maybe I want to ask is, like, you know, what things do you need to really let go and, you know, just do it through God rather than doing it through yourself? What things maybe are you trying to work it out yourself in a sort of self-righteous way, thinking like, oh, I want to get through it so I can feel good about myself, so I can say, oh, God, I've ticked the boxes, I've did what I should be doing. But actually it's not, but maybe these ones which we should more try to do it, we do it for God and do it through God, and saying like, you know, we can't do anything, and if anything that we actually do is through God, and that's, you know, that is really really giving the glory actually to God, and that's something I feel is difficult, yeah, sometimes for me. Someone as I guess being always, I was growing up, I grew up as a, you know, without any belief, and you know, obviously when I was coming from a quite academic family, you know, it's all about, you know, doing well in school and doing well in your life, and really giving that up to God. I think that's still a struggle for me. But yeah, something I feel like I've learned and realized more, but I still, you know, I still need to, there's still so much I need to learn through that. So I think that these are just kind of the two bits I wanted to talk about. So how we're looking at other people and how we're looking at ourselves. As I said, I think there's so much more that one should cover, but I don't know, I just hope it can be helpful. So in summary, I just want to say, like, if we want to imitate to looking at other people and ourselves as through God, we need to look at them kind of with love, with grace, with truth, and not with in a performance-based thinking. But really, like, really just with spending time with them and emotionally sort of connect. And when looking at ourselves again, not performance-based, and not thinking like, oh, this is, you know, I'm actually the one who's good or in a self-righteous way, but actually thinking like whatever we do and whatever we can do, that is really through God who gives us the strength, gives us the ability, and gives us, you know, blesses us through that. So that's all. And maybe let's close up with a prayer as we close the sermon. Dear God, thank you so much, Lord, that you are, you know, you are just an amazing God, that you want to spend time with us, you want to have a relationship with us, and you know, so often for us, we maybe might not take that opportunity, Lord, but you have just this amazing love for us that, and I really pray that we can use that, or we can just out of your love overflow that towards other people, and also it's the same way to ourselves, and really focusing on the, focused on your love and focused on the hearts, and not on the, on what is maybe the actual result in terms of performance and things. So I pray that we can, you know, as love other people as you love them, build the relationships as you like us to do, and pray that we can do that with, you know, with the truth, with basing on your word, Lord. And with grace, Lord, and pray that we, as we see ourselves, Lord, I pray we can make sure not to neglect our sins, but in the end still focus on that it's your, it's, you know, we do all these things, we can only do these things through you, and without you we are just, we can really do nothing, and just we are so grateful that you do have give us this opportunity, that you bless us with, you know, a relationship with you, and that you send your son to the cross so we can enjoy a relationship with you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, and in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.